we discussed the return of the Ark of the Covenant to Jerusalem and David's dancing before the Lord. Today, we want to ask the question, are there some dance lessons that we can learn from David?
Coming to you from the radio studios of Souls Harbor Covenant Church in Miami, Florida, USA, this is Walking in Power, a dynamic life application Bible study with Bern Zumpano, anointed author and teacher of authentic Christian doctrine. Bern Zumpano's spirit-filled teachings on practical Christianity have touched and transformed the lives of many people who have opened their hearts to God's Holy Spirit as a result of Bern's instructional teaching. Bern shows us how Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and how He can change your life and circumstances. We invite you now to listen in with family and friends as Bern discusses Christian issues and answers that will teach you to walk in the power and the knowledge of God through the Holy Spirit. And now, here's Bern.
Thank you, Glenn. Before we get started, let's pray. Father, on behalf of all of the people of Souls Harbor Church and all Christians worldwide, I come together in agreement, firstly speaking our voice of thanks, praise, glory, honor, exaltation, and majesty to your holy name, to all of the men of the earth and to the ends of the world. Anoint the people worldwide with eyes to see and ears to hear. We agree that all demonic scales are broken off of their spiritual eyes and ears, and that they will see and hear with the eyes and ears of your Holy Spirit. By the Spirit of power and might of your Holy Spirit, we call a clear, wide, open, unobstructed path cut to the heart, mind, soul, and spirit of every person listening, and to every man upon this earth, and agree that you will shine your light and truth upon them and into them. We agree for and call in, by faith, the greatest spiritual end-time harvest that the world has ever seen. Also in agreement, we bind Satan, the prince of the power of the air, the princes of the north, south, east, and west, all principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness, wicked spirits in high places, all territorial spirits everywhere, all ruler spirits over all communities and peoples worldwide, all spirits above, around, and below them, all spirits of antichrist, lies, deception, religion, witchcraft, python, unbelief, doubt, divination, all spirits of harm or immorality of any kind, all spirits of opposition, hindrance, interference, and obstruction, destruction, murder, theft, the Jezebel spirit, the Ahab spirit, the Absalom spirit, all spirits of slander, scandal, rumor, libel, defamation, maligning, derision, opinionated spirits, rumor and gossip, accusations, and false accusations, along with all of their physical and psychic attacks, assignments, and operations. We loose all the peoples everywhere from such activities, assignments, and attacks and operations, and call their strongholds down and destroyed, canceled, made null and void, cursed and destroyed at their roots, never more manifested or come to pass, rendered of no effect, judged, spoiled, and never seated, and decree any and all retaliation, revenge, or getting even permanently, immediately, completely, and continually forbidden, all in the mighty name of Christ Jesus. And in the authority of His name, Father, this is our faith confession, and we believe that we receive, and the saints said in agreement, Amen.
Greetings to you, my brothers and sisters in Christ, and friends of our radio listening audience. Welcome to our worldwide Bible study, where we have been talking over the past several sessions about Christian integrity. And we now address the issue of integrity in worship. Our proof texts for this discussion are 1 Chronicles 15 and 2 Samuel 6, and we'll be looking at them a little closer momentarily. In continuing our discussion, you'll recall that in the last session I mentioned that the Philistines had captured the Ark of the Covenant in war from the Israelites, had brought it to Philistia, where the Ark destroyed the statue of Dagon, their fish god, and plagues had come upon the Philistines. Hundreds of thousands of people were killed, and it was decided by the Philistines that the Ark should be returned to the Israelites. And so they did. It came to the house of Abinadab, where it stayed for about 30 years. David heard word in Jerusalem that Abinadab had been blessed. He decided, after receiving a message, to come and get the ark and bring it to Jerusalem, that it was best to do so. And so he went with an entourage of Levite priests and musicians to celebrate the return of the Ark to the Davidic Tabernacle at Jerusalem. Interestingly, we read in 1 Chronicles 15, beginning with verse 2 and 3, "Then David said, 'No one is to carry the Ark of God but the Levites, for the Lord chose them to carry the Ark of God and to minister to him forever.' And David assembled all Israel at Jerusalem to bring up the Ark of the Lord to its place, which he had prepared for it." In verse 14 we read, "So the priests and the Levites consecrated themselves to bring up the Ark of the Lord God of Israel. Then David spoke to the chiefs of the Levites to appoint their relatives, the singers with instruments of music, harps, lyres, loud-sounding cymbals, to raise sounds of joy." It continues in verse 25, "So it was David with the elders of Israel and the captains over thousands who went to bring up the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord from the house of Obed-Edom with joy." In verse 27, we read, "Now David was clothed with a robe of fine linen with all the Levites who were carrying the Ark, and the singers and Shemaiah the leaders of the singing with the singers. David also wore an ephod of linen." Notice in this verse that it says that he had a robe of fine linen. Then it says in the same verse that he also wore an ephod of linen. This was an undergarment. What was the difference? Well, fine linen was a very tight weave of linen. It was white, and it was worn by priests. The ephod of linen, which was basically an undergarment that went from the chest to the hip level, was less dense, and it was essentially transparent. It was an undergarment. In 2 Samuel 6, verse 12 onward, we read, "Now it was told King David, saying, 'The Lord has blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that belongs to him on account of the Ark of God.' And David went and brought up the Ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom into the city of David with gladness. And so it was that when the bearers of the Ark of the Lord had gone six paces, he sacrificed an ox and a fatling. And David was dancing before the Lord with all his might, and David was wearing a linen ephod." What happened to the fine linen coat or robe? Well, David took it off, and he stripped himself. You see, the fine linen coat was a sign of priesthood, and although David was a king and priest and prophet unto our God, he humbled himself before God, and he took off his clothes, and he danced through the streets of Jerusalem with all of his might, only in a linen ephod. What was David doing? He was humbling himself before God. What he was saying is, there is only one high priest, and that is God. There is only one king, and that is the King of Righteousness, which is the high God of Israel. And David was worshiping with his whole body, his whole mind, and his whole soul. Notice in verse 14, it says he was dancing before the Lord with all his might. In verse 16, we read, "Then it happened, as the Ark of the Lord came into the city of David, that Michal, the daughter of Saul," that's David's wife, one of seven, "looked out of the window and saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, and she despised him in her heart." After the national celebration was over, David returned to his house. In verse 20, we read, "But when David returned to bless his household, Michal, the daughter of Saul, came out to meet David and said, 'How the king of Israel distinguished himself today. He uncovered himself today in the eyes of his servant maids, as one of the foolish ones shamelessly uncover themselves.'" In other words, Michal was saying to David, "You are the king of Israel in your dancing naked in the streets, uncovering yourself and showing your wares to the women of the streets." So David said to Michal, "It was before the Lord who chose me above your father and above all his house to appoint me ruler over the people of the Lord, over Israel. Therefore, I will celebrate before the Lord, and I will be more lightly esteemed than this, and will be humble in my own eyes. But with the maids of whom you have spoken, with them I will be distinguished." Now, that's a very old English polite way of saying to his wife, "Well, Michal, I did it all to God, because I love God so much. And if I have not distinguished myself with you, and you did not like what you were looking at, I'll go back to the streets, and the maids of the streets will like what I was doing." In other words, David had reckless abandon for the Lord. He was lost, caught up in the spirit. It continues in verse 23, "And Michal, the daughter of Saul, had no child to the day of her death." Now, we said before that Michal was not out on the streets celebrating with the whole nation. She was the wife of David, the daughter of King Saul, and what she had on her mind was image. She was concerned about how the throne of Israel would be regarded after the people saw David dancing naked or semi-naked in the streets. She was worried about the respect for the royal family. She was not out on the streets. She was in the palace looking out the window. David was dancing in the spirit. She was looking through the window of religion. Now let's look at a few points here. The first thing we need to understand was that although linen was essentially transparent or see-through, and yes, they were able to look at David's parts. That's just the way it is. It's history, folks. Which was the reason why Michal said to him how the king of Israel distinguished himself today. He uncovered himself today in the eyes of his servants' maids as one of the foolish ones shamelessly uncovers himself. So I think that the scripture pretty well settles the idea that David was dancing in such a way that he had exposed himself. Now, the point is this. He was wrapped in a white linen ephod, not the fine linen ephod. He had taken that off. In other words, he went before God as a common man. All commoners wore a white linen ephod. But what is the symbol of white linen in Scripture? Well, if you go back to the Mosaic Tabernacle, you'll remember that the outer court of the Mosaic Tabernacle was fenced in with a wall of white linen, fine white linen. Yes, because white linen in typology, that is in type, represented the righteousness of God. You see, when David was caught up in worship of the Lord, the people were to see him through the righteousness of God. They were to see him through the white linen ephod. He was cloaked in the righteousness of God. This is a type and shadow of things to come, where the believer in Revelations 3 are cloaked in the white raiment, the white garment of righteousness. And so we see this picture of the believer worshiping God, caught up in the Spirit, cloaked in the white righteousness of God. Also consider the fact that it was the Spirit of God that hovered over the Ark of the Covenant, so that when we consider the picture of the Ark and David, what we are seeing here is a picture of Father God being romanced by the Lord Jesus Christ. There are figures in the Old Testament who are types of Christ. David was one of them. Joshua was another of them. Moses, Abraham were types of Christ. And so when David was dancing before the ark, cloaked in the white righteousness of God, it was a celebration of Christ romancing his Father. When we worship, we're to worship with all of our might, with all of our heart, with all of our soul. You see, David didn't care what people were thinking of him. He was totally and completely focused on God. So the dance lesson that we learn from David is that when we worship God, in our period of worship, in our experience of worship, we are to be totally and completely sold out to him. We cannot care what people think of us if we raise holy hands or give a wave offering or dance before the Lord, physically or spiritually. No, we have to do what David did. We have to dance the way David danced, and that is with complete abandonment to the Lord, complete focus to the Lord, complete reverence and awe for the Lord. keeping our mind, our heart, and our body on him. David worshipped with his whole spirit. He worshipped with his whole mind and heart. He worshipped even with his body. Yes, dancing in the streets, clapping his hands, raising hands up to God, praising. David was having an experience of God's Spirit upon his life. He had no awareness of anything that was going on around him. He was caught up in the experience of the Holy Spirit. David was having his own personal Pentecost experience. He said to Michal, "I did it unto the Lord." Michal tried to rain on his parade, and she tried to rain on his praise. She was looking at what was going on through human eyes. David was looking at what was going on through spiritual eyes. He could see God differently. When you get into praise and worship of God with your whole mind, your whole heart, your whole soul, focused on him, abandoned in him, dedicated to him, you will lose all sense of the earthly. You will be caught up in God's Spirit, and guess what? God will be living his life in you and through you. And how will you know? You will sense, you will perceive the presence of the Holy Spirit. You will then be seeing and understanding, not with the eyes of men, but with the eyes of the Holy Spirit. God living his life in you and through you. So in Galatians 2:20, Paul says, "Christ in you, the hope of glory." And in 2 Corinthians 4:10, Paul says, "His life, my body." You see, when David was dancing before the Lord, he was totally yielded to the Holy Spirit. It was Christ dancing in and through David to his Father. Michal could not understand that. She was more concerned with image. She was more concerned with propriety. She was more concerned with conservative conduct. She was more concerned with appropriateness. These are all things of men. God wants intimacy. David was having moments of intimacy with the Holy Spirit through total commitment to worship. That's what Christian integrity demands of all of us. Doesn't mean you have to go dancing in the streets. God wants your heart. And so, we can be dancing in our hearts unto the Lord. We can be walking by faith and not by sight, committed to him fully in all that we do, desiring him with all of our heart, all of our mind, all of our soul, all of our spirit, all of our body, that we may celebrate him and be celebrated by him. That's what Christian integrity of worship is all about, being sold out to God because he loves you. Now let me ask you a question. Do you know the God who loves you? New Testament scripture says God is love. Do you know God? And if you do not know God, would you like to know God? God has manifested to man through what is called in the scripture the manifestation of the Son of God, one with the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, the scripture says, "Behold, O Israel, the Lord your God is one." And the scripture also says in Romans 1, "I have made myself known through my creation." We can see and understand God conceptually through his creation. Now, scripture clearly says that there is Father God, the Son of God, and the Holy Spirit. Well, how can we illustrate this? If I take a piece of bread dough to make a loaf of bread, and I break it in two, I can now have two pieces of bread dough, but they're still bread dough. Now, if I make the bread dough God, and I manifest one piece of dough from the main body of the dough, I can have the Father and the Son, but it's still bread dough. It's still God. And then I can still take another piece and separate it, and let that be the Holy Spirit, but it's still bread dough. So there are three manifestations of the Godhead: the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The Father is the designer of all things and the authorizer. Christ, the Son, the scripture says, was the creator, and the Holy Spirit is the sustainer of the universe. Christ came in the form of a man so that we could understand the Father. And he says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man goes to the Father but through me." The proof that Jesus Christ is real is that he will manifest himself to you personally, and he will fellowship with you the rest of your life and guide you through life, help you to grow spiritually, deliver you from your problems, and prosper you, because God is love and God loves you. Will you receive Jesus Christ in your heart today? There's no such thing as I'm too far gone. Jesus takes people with bad pasts and gives them great futures. Reach out to Jesus today and pray this prayer with me aloud now, won't you? I promise you, my friend, you'll never again be the same. Let's pray together. Pray this aloud, being willing to turn from your sin.
Say, Lord Jesus Christ, I'm a sinner. I can't save myself. I repent of my sins, all of them. I turn from them by my own free will. I renounce them. I ask your forgiveness. I invite you into my heart now to be Lord and Savior. That is, to lead me through life and save me. I confess you before men as the resurrected Christ. Come into me now, Lord Jesus Christ. I receive you by trusting faith, and faith alone. Amen.
Now, if you prayed that prayer, get yourself into a Bible-believing, Spirit-filled, non-denominational church. Get water baptized by immersion, Holy Spirit baptized by those who have the baptism in the Holy Spirit, which will give you the power to walk the faith walk. Get into Christian community where they will teach you the Word of God. And I promise you, my friend, you will never again be the same, because the evidence that Jesus Christ is real is the proof of changed lives by the millions worldwide. God bless you, and God willing, talk to you next week.
This program was brought to you by the volunteers of the International Radio Ministry of Souls Harbor Covenant Church, Miami, Florida, USA. We desire that this broadcast become a spiritual nourishment and blessing to you. There's a lot of Christian entertainment and testimony activity on TV and radio worldwide, but there's a greater need for instruction in the Word and the ways of God. Our desire is to help fill that need. If this program has been a blessing to you and others, you may wish to become a contributor to this ministry as you feel led by the Holy Spirit. Your contribution in the form of an international money order or a personal check stateside would be greatly appreciated to carry on God's work and to keep us on the air. If you can't afford to support us financially, please be our covenant partner through your prayer support. Pray that our mission will be carried out according to God's will as we carry out His command that our voice go into all the earth and our words to the end of the world. We pray that this program is a blessing to you and that you'll tell others about us. Burns' classic and timeless Bible teachings given over many years past are highly anointed and are now available on cassette tapes along with his books and other ministry materials that teach the believer to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. We want to hear from you. Write us or send us a postcard with a clear return address requesting our catalog or making your comments. Our address is Walking in Power, P.O. Box 161322, Miami, Florida, USA 33176. Or for telephone orders using your credit card, call toll-free 1-888-273-WORD. That's 1-888-273-9673. Until next week, we remind you that the Bible tells us that there is no salvation apart from the Lord Jesus Christ, and that there is no other name under heaven by which we can be saved from our sins. If you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, and as a living person, willing and able to get involved in your life, shouldn't you? Invite Him into your heart today to be Lord and Savior, and receive Him by a trusting faith alone. If you want to know more about the necessity of being saved, write us. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We hope you'll tune in next week at this same time as we bring you more of the Holy Spirit's timely Bible teachings through Bern Zumpano. Until then, God bless you and keep you in His love. Walking in Power is a production of United Ministries International.